It is our privilege as we continue our 2021 Missions Convention to have another missionary with us this evening. His name is Dave Johnson. He and his wife Debbie have been ministering in the Philippines for many years, and we have been supporting them in that ministry, and we're grateful. This is not the first time that he's been with us, but it has been a few years since he was able to be here, and so we're grateful that he is here tonight. He's also going to be at the senior luncheon on Friday, and so if you are mature in years, make sure that you go and participate in that as well, because it'll be a good time, good food, and a great speaker. And so I want to ask if you would join me in welcoming tonight Dave Johnson as he comes to share his mission and minister the Word of God.
Can you get me a faith promise card? Thank you, Pastor Stephen. It's a delight to be back at Bethany Assembly of God, and on behalf of all 2,685 Assemblies of God missionaries serving all over the globe, we want to thank you for what you do for missions, and thank you for praying, thank you for giving, thank you for being a part of what God is doing through this great fellowship all around the world. It is said that once every 40 seconds or so, someone comes to Christ through the ministry of an Assemblies of God church or pastor or missionary somewhere in the world today. About every 4 hours, a new Assemblies of God church is planted somewhere in the world today. I want to thank you for being a part of it. I want to thank you, Pastor Stephen, for the opportunity to be here tonight. And I want to say a special thank you to all of you who gave up the Red Sox game tonight. There'll be another one. It's not the deciding game, so there'll be at least one more. But being a lifelong Tigers fan, I understand. I really do. So thank you so much for being here tonight. As Pastor mentioned, my wife and I have been in the Philippines for many years now. I've been there 27. Debbie's been there 25, and we've been together for 24. I'm sorry that she could not be here tonight, but she sends her greetings. And she's at home in Michigan and taking a little time off the road. It's been a little heavy lately, and so she's taking a little time off the road. But for many years, we were involved in evangelism, church planting, Bible school leadership. But about 8 years ago, God turned our hearts to higher theological education. We are now a part of the Asia Pacific Theological Seminary in Baguio City, Philippines. And while we're still in the Philippines, less than 20% of our body is Filipino. We have about 190 students from 33 different nations all over Asia and Pacific Oceania that are studying at our school, studying to be God's servants, studying to serve God's church, studying to take the gospel where we've never gone before and do things we've never done before. So I want to thank you for your participation in that mission. In that mission, we will be going to our campus by way of video in just a couple of minutes, but just to introduce to you my particular passion and my particular focus is on publishing. How many of us have been discipled and blessed by reading good Christian literature in addition to the Bible itself? Anybody? And amen. How many of you appreciate the fact that your pastor has study helps in a library that he can? Yeah, that's what we do for Asian pastors. Their questions are different, their issues are different, but it's the same that we provide mentoring through our publishing. And you can pick up a prayer card tonight. You can go to aptspress.org and look at what we're publishing if you're online. My wife is the dean of students. In that role, she functions pretty much like a campus pastor. She oversees the chapel program. She oversees home meetings that we have on Fridays in lieu of chapel when things are normal. Things aren't real normal right now, and you know why. She oversees Spiritual Emphasis Week, and she just does a number of those things that involve pastoral ministry, including a lot of counseling, and God has really gifted her in that particular area. So that gives you just a thumbnail sketch of what we do. Now let's go to the campus by way of video and see it in action. Thank you so much.
Father, we pray for the countries and churches of Asia who desperately need trained ministers anointed by the Holy Spirit to bring the gospel, the power of God, and good teaching to the peoples of Asia, to the lost, and to an embattled church. Thank you for training centers like APTS where we serve you. Thank you for the students from over 30 nations who have been enrolled online during this difficult time of pandemic. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to teach and to lead these students in this uncertain season. Thank you that Dave was able, through his editorship of the APTS Press and Journal, to put books and articles on critical subjects into the hands of Asian pastors and to even write a book to encourage them and all of us. Thank you for helping me to serve as the Dean of Students and to pray for and counsel and mentor your servants. Oh God, enable us by your power to build strong ministers ready to take up their cross, ready to preach, ready to give their lives for the love of Christ and the world. Father, we need you desperately. We cry out to you for the peoples of Asia, many burdened by poverty, injustice, and violence. Have mercy on the millions. Send our workers into your harvest field with fire and anointing so that this gospel of the kingdom can be preached to all families and peoples for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you'll open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 28. You already know the text, verses 19 and 20. I'm going to ask you to stand again for the reading of God's word out of respect to the word of God. I'm looking forward to being with the seniors on Friday. I think I'm finally qualified to be one. And so, I think I'm going to talk to you about on Friday about the seniors' role in missions. And at 64, this is becoming increasingly personal to me. So some reflections about how seniors can be enrolled in missions. And I think we're going to take some time on Friday. We'll have a little bit more time to do some questions and answers. So if you have questions and answers, just come to the, thing. And if you're not quite a senior yet, just dye your hair or something. So you come and join us. So Matthew, hopefully we'll have a few laughs along the way too. Matthew 28, verses 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. I want to focus on that thought of go and make disciples to all nations. There are two words that I want to leave with you tonight, and that first word is nations. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Father, I pray if there's anyone here tonight or anyone listening online that is not walking in fellowship with you, I just pray, Father, that throughout this whole service, they'll just feel your irrepressible love and want to come to know you when we give them the opportunity at the end of the service or at any time throughout this week. Father, we thank you for the word of God that challenges us to be involved in your mission to the ends of the earth, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. When you and I think of the nations, we tend to think of political nation states like you see on the map, China, Mongolia, Russia, the United States, and things like this. That's the way we normally think of nations today, and I understand that. When we talk about where God is calling you, you know, we missionaries, we talk about Japan or the Philippines or Angola or somewhere else, and it's perfectly natural to do so, but that is not what the biblical writers envisioned. What the biblical writers envisioned is what we would define today as an ethnic group. In fact, it comes from the Greek word for nations, and I am not a Greek scholar, comes from the same root from which we get our concept of ethnic group. We prefer in mission circles to talk to them about various people groups. There are in this world today some 17,000 people groups. If we were to put up a map of the world today, or even just a map of Asia, according to people groups, that map would look significantly different than it was today. Geographical boundaries, as important as they are, would not be nearly as important because people groups tend to live in more than one nation. But that is the concept of the biblical authors. A people group can be defined by ethnicity, language, customs, and rituals and things like that, and religion. Those four characteristics define what a different people group is. Now, they may share a language with other people groups, they may share religion with other people groups, but when you take those four markers together, they comprise what we normally define as a people group. The problem is that those same four issues are also what prevent the gospel from penetrating the various different people groups. Scholars tell us today that out of 17,000 people groups in the world, there are 7,400 of them where the people within those groups have had little access to the gospel, where the gospel has never been preached for, in many cases, those reasons we have just mentioned, and I'll illustrate that for you. They say we have no little access because what happens is that we tend to share the gospel with people with whom we have the most significant relationships, and if we're honest, we will admit that the people, normally speaking, with whom we have the most significant relationships are people who are like us. There's a lot to say about the old adage that birds of like feather flock together. You can cross those boundaries of cultures and traditions and religions and language, but you have to be intentional about it. And in fact, that is precisely what we must do in order to give access to those who have so little access. This problem, this lack of access, is so acute that that scholars tell us that 86% of all Muslims, Buddhists, and Hindus have never in their lifetime encountered an authentic Christian, ever in their lifetime. That is our situation in Asia. Because of those things that I have mentioned, they have no access. Access meaning this. In Grand Rapids, Michigan, where I am from, people have access to the gospel of every single hour of every single day. You can go to the church of your choice on any given Sunday. You can read the Bible in your language. It's easily available. Even those who reject its message at least know about it. There are infinite number of websites, gospel television programs, Christian radio programs. In Grand Rapids, you could say that every single moment of every single day, people have access to the gospel. It is not true of most Asians. If you've never in your lifetime met an authentic Christian, you might not even know who Jesus is. And if you don't know who Jesus is, you wouldn't know anything about a book that's written that tells his story, let alone where to find it, let alone where to find a group of Christians to fellowship with, if they even exist in your context. That is the situation we face in Asia. We propose to change the situation. There are many ways to do this. Other missionaries will undoubtedly come and talk to you about how they're gaining creative access to these peoples, because most of these peoples live in places where you cannot get missionary visas, and they'll talk about doing businesses, mission, and other things to get inside. All wonderful stories and all true and all necessary. But our particular perspective is to train Asians to reach Asians in unreached people groups. Our challenge is to train Asians to give access to those who have no access. Go with me, if you will, to the tiny nation of Bhutan, way up in the Himalayan mountains. I don't know if you IT guys can find it with the cursor, but up right along the border between China and India, just to the east of Nepal and north of the country in purple, which is Bangladesh, you'll see the little kingdom of Bhutan. Bhutan is a Buddhist kingdom. In 10,000 years of human history, or however long mankind has been on the earth, there has been little access to the gospel among the Bhutanese. To be Bhutanese historically has been to be Buddhist. It's a Buddhist kingdom where the king has real power, and Buddhism is the state religion. Christianity is legal, but it's persecuted. But we are there. We have in Bhutan an APTS extension. We don't have a campus. Classes meet in various places that are generally undisclosed, but we are there. 2 years ago, I traveled to Bhutan to train Bhutanese pastors. You see, in about 1960 or so, in the 1960s, God began to move. God began to pour out his spirit. God began to move in signs and wonders among the Bhutanese people. And today there is a church in Bhutan of about 15,000 Christians in a country just under 100 million. We thank God for it. It's a growing church in Bhutan. It's a Pentecostal church in Bhutan. And our purpose there is to train up Bhutanese pastors who will go to the highways and byways of their countries, to go up into the mountain passes where none of us would ever could ever go, to go to the hills and valleys and plant Christ's church, challenging the powers of Buddhism, challenging the powers of darkness that have held sway in Bhutan for far too long. Go with me, if you will, to the country of Mongolia. Mongolia, as just like Bhutan, is overwhelmingly Buddhist. But in Mongolia, there are a small group of Kazakhs. Kazakhs whose ancestors migrated from Kazakhstan in the 19th century, and they migrated into China and into Mongolia and into Russia. And they did what migrants have done for all of human history. They brought their language, they brought their customs, they brought their tradition, and they brought their religion with them as they traveled. And that religion is not Buddhism. That religion is Islam. To be Kazakh is to be Buddhist. Excuse me. To be Kazakh is to be Muslim. But God is moving. A young lady, whom I'll call Susie, it's not her real name, came to our campus. She came to attend the Institute for Islamic Studies that we have on our campus every year. That institute that over 24 years has spawned other institutes that has trained probably hundreds, if not thousands, of workers to engage in ministry to Muslims. She came to be a part of that. You see, Susie had been a Muslim. She was working, I think, in the capital city in Ulaanbaatar in a department store. And she met a young lady there that was just different. And she finally worked up the courage to go to her coworker and say, "What is it that's different about you? Why don't you do the things we do? Why do you have different values? And why are you so happy?" Things like that. I don't know if they asked that exact question, but. And the young lady said to Susie, she said, "It's because I'm a follower of Jesus." Oh. Susie had heard of Jesus. He shows up in the Quran many times. He's heralded as a prophet, but not the Son of God. And Susie was just attracted to the life of Christ in this ordinary believer, not a preacher, not a priest, not a prophet, not an apostle, just an ordinary believer who loved Jesus and over the course of time led Susie into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Susie, like most Muslims, Buddhists, and Hindus, deeply feared evil spirits. And they would wear amulets or say mantras or pray to the gods for deliverance from evil spirits. Susie was no different. She said, "In our home, we did not read the Quran. We set it up as a shrine and we prayed to it." She deeply feared evil spirits. Susie had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I said to her, "Susie, tell me about your experience with the Holy Spirit. We're Pentecostal here." And she said, "Sir," she said, "when God baptized me in the Holy Spirit, he said, 'Oh, he's such a powerful spirit. Oh, he's such a clean spirit.'" And she said, "When God baptized me in the Holy Spirit, he set me free from the fear of evil spirits." Oh, that's good news. And at the end, she said to me, "Sir," she said, "it just may be that God will send me back to the land of my ancestors as a missionary to share the gospel." She said, "I speak the language. I know the cultural. I know the culture. Those barriers that I mentioned a moment ago aren't barriers to Susie." Now, when she first came to Christ, when in many of these cases, ethnicity and family and religion are all bound together. So when she renounced Islam, she was seen as renouncing her clan, her tribe, her family, her ethnicity. Yeah, it's a big deal. And she was persecuted intensely, but she stayed faithful and ultimately led her mother and one of her brothers to the Lord. I think wherever Susie goes, she's going to have a mission field, and she's going to have the missionary spirit, the Holy Spirit, working within her to see lives changed. Our passion is to give access to those who have no access. Not only did I go to Bhutan, but you went there. You went there when you prayed. You went with you when you gave in the offering. You went when you steadfastly every single month paid your faith promise. You see, it's your faith promises that keep us on the field month after month, year after year. And for me, it's now been 27 years, and you've been supporting us for 10 or 12 of them or so. It's your monthly support that keeps us going, that enables us to go places we've never been, do things we've never done, meet people we've never met, and give access to those who have no access. When you fill out your faith promise card, you're saying to Pastor Stephen, you're saying to the leadership, you can count on me as God provides to give this much amount so that they know how much they can give to monthly support for missionaries, how much they can invest in projects, how much they can do with other things. Your faithful giving helps them to keep on keeping the commitments that they've made to the missionaries that your church supports in order that we might continue to go and give access to those who have no access. Go with me for a moment to China. I'll not give you too many details, but a young Filipina gal came to our campus. She had a cushy job, one of the few Filipinos that did. She had a good job. She was from the area where our school is located. She worked in a bank. She had a good future at the bank. But God laid it on her heart to become a missionary. She came to us, spent, 3 years on our campus, a couple of years, training to become a missionary. Today, that young lady is serving Christ's purposes in a place where few foreigners of any kind can go. She got a visa, first of all, to do business as mission for several years. I'll tell you it's somewhere in China. That's all I'll tell you. And after several years of faithful witness through a coffee shop, she felt led to shut down the coffee shop and move further into the interior of the land of her calling and got a visa into a part of China that few foreigners of any color get to go. And today, she is there. She's learning the language. She got a student visa. She's enrolled in a university there, and she is talking to local people about Jesus, people who never in history, perhaps, have ever had the opportunity to hear the message of life. We were able to train her. And she's fully supported, by the way, by the Philippines Assemblies of God. Today, God is raising up a church in churches, places where we have gone and sown the seed and planted churches. They are now sending missionaries. The Philippine church is sending missionaries. The Chinese church is sending missionaries. The Hong Kong church is sending missionaries. The Singapore churches are sending missionaries, giving access to those who have no access. When you pray, you help us to give access to those who have no access. The Church of Jesus Christ will only proceed on its knees. And we need you to pray. Thank you for your prayers for us tonight. I want to encourage you to pray. I want you to go to a website, called jumaprayer.com and sign up to pray for Muslims. I want to encourage you to go to a website called Change the Map or Pray for Buddhists and sign up to pray for the Buddhist world. We desperately need you to pray. We desperately need you to give, to increase your faith promise if you can. If you've never won, take the first step tonight, this week, and become part of the faith promise and become the groundswell that God is doing. But we also encourage you and implore you to raise up missionaries out of your church. Yes, your sons and daughters. Yes, your grandchildren. This is getting personal, isn't it? Yes, your flesh and blood. Is it hard to send your flesh and blood overseas? Ask my dad. He's been doing it for 27 years. Is it hard to leave family and friends behind? It's about the hardest thing I've ever done, and it never gets easier as the years pass by. But we do it because Jesus is worthy. Don't be like the people that said, oh, we need to send missionaries, but not my children. If not ours, then whose? If not our grandchildren, then whose? If not us, even seniors don't get off the hook, then who? It's got to be us to raise up a new generation of missionaries. Amen. As I mentioned to you before, I am 64 years old. My definition of retirement is putting new wheels on that Speed the Light vehicle that our district has provided for us and keeping on going. That's our plan. But the calendar doesn't lie. Sooner or later, the missionaries of my generation are going to have to turn the ball over to the next generation. Will there be an adequate missionary force in the next generation? Is a question I cannot answer. Only you can answer that. Only the next generation can answer. So I want to challenge you to give it involved. When you pray for Buddhists, when you pray for Hindus, when you pray for Muslims, you give access to those who have no access. When you give access to those who have no access. You empower us with the financial resources that we need. You empower us with the tools that we need. We committed to underwrite a postgraduate program for a young lady from the Hindu nation of Nepal who is on our campus right now, living in my house, actually, while we're home here in the States, carrying on her postgraduate studies under our partnership. And she is going to go home and when she's finished with her studies and teach in a Bible school in Nepal and raise up pastors who will go to parts of Nepal where the gospel has not been named, giving access to those who have no access. That's my appeal to you today. Will you join us in this great endeavor? Will you join us in praying? Will you join us in going? Will you join us in giving? That is our challenge today. Let's go to the nations, to the 7,400 people group nations where Christ has never been named. Let's take the gospel. Let's give access to those who have no access. Would you stand with me, please? I'm going to do this. Very quickly, I'm going to ask Pastor Tay and his wife just to come down front. I just want you just to observe. If you're here this evening or if you're joining us online and you've never opened your heart to Christ but you want to do so today, I know that we have not spoken directly to you. I know that we've not talked about sin and our need for forgiveness and things like this, but I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit can communicate that message anyway. And if you're here tonight and you've never opened your heart to Jesus, I want to ask you to do something. If you're in the auditorium, I want to ask Pastor and his wife just to observe you while everyone else has their head bowed and prayed in prayer. Would you just say, I need someone to pray with me. I want to know Jesus Christ. Would you raise your hand? I want Pastor and Andrea to know who you are so they can pray with you, they can counsel with you, they can send workers to help you to begin the journey of walking with Jesus. Would you raise your hand? If you're online with us, would you go to the chat box or whatever the church has set up and get a message to the church that you want to follow Jesus, that you want to pray? You can pray right now. You can pray, Jesus, change my life. Jesus, I've sinned. Jesus, I've fallen short of your honor and your glory. You can ask for forgiveness right now, and he will do just that. Just text HOPE to the number above, and they'll hear from you, and they'll respond to you. Someone will respond to you as quickly as they can. If you're in the sanctuary, would you raise your hand right now? I want Pastor Stephen to know who you are. There's nothing holy about raising your hand or sending a text. It's just indicating who you are. I don't see any hands raised at this point, Pastor Stephen, but you may have noticed something different. Let me pray for you right now. Father, I pray for those that are here tonight and not walking with Jesus. Father, I pray first of all for the conviction of the Holy Spirit and then for the liberating forgiveness of Jesus to be manifest in their lives. Father, I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. You can pray right now and ask Jesus to come in and change your life. Even if you didn't raise your hand or send a text, you can do it right now. But I want you to connect with this church because it's a journey. Walking with Jesus is not a once-for-all event. It's a journey. Now let me turn my attention to those that are members that are following Christ already and say, how will we respond to this message tonight? Will we pray? Will we give? Will we go? You could also choose the path of doing nothing and walk the path of disobedience. The Great Commission is not optional, but I pray you won't. I believe that you won't. I want to encourage everyone that will to pray, everyone that will to give, and those whom God has called to respond. God is calling you to missions tonight and you're here. I'd like to talk with you after the service and I'll pray with you. If you're online, just send that text message to the church and if they're willing, they can forward that on to me and I'd be happy to talk with you. Father, I pray right now, I thank you for this church and this body. I thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. I pray, Father, that throughout this missions convention, there would emerge one voice and one message that you have to this church to be a part of what you're doing, not only in Agawam, Massachusetts, in the Springfield area, but to the ends of the earth. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated for just a quick moment, and I'm going to do this really quickly. Because our time is gone. I brought two books with me. One, if you're interested in praying for Buddhists or going to a Buddhist nation, I want you to come and pick up a copy of this book. It's called Change the Map, Impacting the Buddhist World Through Prayer and Action. It's just $5, written by a good friend of mine and actually someone that Pastor Stephen knows, Mark Doreen, missionary to Thailand. You can get this book online at Amazon. But you're an advantage if you're in the auditorium because it's cheaper here. And so just $5. I've got several copies with me. And also my own book, Answering God's Call, Reflections of a Veteran Missionary to Asia, where I reflect on God's call in my life and how I've walked out that call through good times and bad over the last 27 years. And if you love missionary stories or if you're feeling God may have you with a future in missions, I think this book would be a blessing to you. It's just $11, and the proceeds from this book go into our publishing ministry. And again, you can get this online from Amazon. Both books are available in Kindle and paperback format and mobile phone online. But also I have them here tonight. So two books for $16 if you're here tonight. So thank you so much, Pastor Stephen. It's been a delight to be here.
Thank you so much, Dave. I want to encourage you, if you've not yet made a faith promise, please do that. We don't just ask you to make faith promises because it's fun to collect money. We do it because it's obedient to send people to the nations and to provide a way for those people groups to hear the gospel of Jesus and provide access. So please do, if you've not listened to the Holy Spirit and what He would have you to give in that faith promise. And let's make a commitment together to pray. Make sure you grab a prayer card for Dave and Debbie. Put it in a prominent place where you'll remember to pray for them. And would you just, before we go, reach out a hand and let's pray for their mission and for for Asia Pacific Theological Seminary as they raise up ministers. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much for Dave and Debbie. Thank you for your call in their lives. Thank you that they've been obedient, and thank you for the ministry through them, especially, Lord, most recently at the seminary. And Lord, we pray for your blessing on their lives. We pray that they would be able to have be fully funded quickly. We pray that you'd get them back on the field. Please give them times of just rest and refreshing while they are here. And Lord, we pray that they would go back enthusiastic and energized by the Holy Spirit to continue the work that you've called them to do. We ask, Lord, that as they go, that they would continue to raise up students and laborers to go to people and grant them access to the gospel. Lord, may there be more people who hear the good news as students at Asia Pacific hear and learn what it means to take the good news to those people. And Lord, we pray that you would call more people to go on your behalf, raising them up. We love you, Lord. We thank you for that. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and we believe for these things. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being with us this evening. Make sure to stop by Dave's table in the lobby. We will see you again on Sunday morning as we continue our missions convention with our apologetics conference. Until then, go in God's grace and in his peace.